Okay, I'm not going to lie, that is a first. And I'm also not going to lie, I put it on Facebook as it was happening. So if you see a post from me during church, you'll know that, yes, I really did do it. And I bet I wouldn't be surprised if somebody else tweeted it while it was going on. I'm guessing that some of you are wondering why in the world I would choose this title for my sermon. Jesus is a Buzzkill. I actually took the title from the Reverend Michael Coffey, who is the pastor at First English Lutheran Church here in Austin. We were talking in our lectionary group this week, and he said that all he could think of when he read the scripture was that Peter had to have been saying, "Man, Jesus is a buzzkill." And I couldn't resist it. I thought about it all week, and I sent him a text saying, "I couldn't help it, Michael. I stole your title for my sermon topic." And he quickly responded, "Are you kidding me?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, good luck." So hopefully before this is over, you'll understand what I mean. And you may already understand what I mean. But our gospel lesson today is the continuation of last week's scripture. Peter has answered Jesus' question correctly. And all the bells and the whistles have gone off. And Jesus has declared, "Peter, you're the man. And on you, I will build my church. You are my rock." And I'm guessing Peter is doing the happy dance and raising his arms, and all is going well. And then, boom, all of a sudden, all is not happy in Rocksville. Could Peter even begin to know how heavy the weight of the church upon him was going to be? It's easy for us to see, isn't it? We can look back through time. But the weight of the church is very heavy. Could Peter even begin to see what was to come? Of course not. I don't think anyone, including Jesus, could really know how hard things were to be. None of us can until we're in the midst of hard times. But Jesus begins to try and prepare the disciples. He begins to tell them, "I have to go into Jerusalem. And yes, I'm going to suffer at the hands of the elders, and they're going to kill me, and I'm going to come back 3 days later." And Peter takes him inside and says, "No, no, no. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You're the king. You're the Messiah. This isn't what's going to happen." And how does Jesus respond? This is the climax of the buzzkill part. He says, "Get behind me, Satan." He calls Peter Satan. That has got to hurt. To one day be the rock on which I will build my church, and the next day to be Satan. But Jesus says, "You're trying to make me stumble. This is what has to happen. You're thinking human, not thinking divine." Well, that kind of hits home to me. I don't know about you, but I think pretty much we all think human, don't we? I mean, we don't want someone we love and care about to suffer at our expense or at anyone else's expense. Why do we have to suffer? Do we have to suffer? Is it a prerequisite of being a follower of Christ that I have to suffer? Does it make us feel better if we do suffer? Honestly, I've met people who seem to really thrive on suffering. Almost like they're doing their part if they can suffer enough for Jesus. Is it necessary? On the flip side, are those people who believe that God won't allow you to suffer if you're doing the right thing? I watched a great video that's going around Facebook, and you may have seen it. But it has a pretty well-known woman who is a co-preacher slash wife of a preacher. And she is in the midst of this stadium with people everywhere. And she is saying that we do everything that we do, not for God, we do it for ourselves. We don't come to church and do good and live right for God. We do that for ourselves, if we're going to be honest. And God is really good with that. And that God says, I want you to be happy all the time. So when you do good, do it for yourself, because that's what God wants. You do it for yourself, because God wants you to be happy. God would want it, because God just wants you to be happy. So when you think of yourself first, you're making God happy. And then the video instantly flips to Bill Cosby, who stands up and says, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in my life. I laughed and I laughed, because that's the human way of thinking, isn't it? There are those who think, God wants me to be happy, and so therefore, I never have to suffer. I guess the flip side is also possible. Jesus says we've got to suffer in order to follow, so I'm not going to be happy. I'm going to find the hard part of every step. I'm going to suffer all the time for Jesus. Those are the human ways of thinking. I look at this Exodus scripture. Moses didn't walk into Egypt and tell them that God wants them to let his people go because he wanted to. It was the furthest thing from what he wanted to do. That would not be the human response, is I want to go. But it was the divine plan. Moses listened. Yes, he might have hesitated a bit. He might have even asked some good questions before. But Moses agreed to open himself up. I think that's the real part of suffering, or taking up your cross, that Jesus talked about. It's the willingness to open ourselves up to suffer, but to suffer for transfiguration. To suffer for transformation, not martyrdom for martyrdom's sake, but willingness to suffer for change. It seems these days that we think suffering for Jesus means, oh, maybe sitting through worship. That we're going to go suffer for Jesus by going to church on Sunday? Or maybe we have to suffer by church by coming and sitting in that building that they painted green when I wanted it yellow? Or maybe I've got to go and sit through church when they're playing contemporary music when I wanted traditional? Or they're playing traditional music when I wanted contemporary? I'm not sure I believe that's what Jesus was talking about. Jesus says, take up your cross. And there is nothing easy about taking up your cross. It may sound somewhat trivial or cheesy, but until you figure out what you're willing to suffer and die for, you can't really live. And that's what Jesus is trying to say. Choose. Decide what I really mean to you. And if I'm to be your Messiah, if I am to be your Lord, then take up your cross. Be willing to suffer. May not happen. There are no guarantees. But be ready to stand up for what's right. I'm not a poker player. I don't really like to just give money away. And I'm not really, I've never been good at playing the game. But I love those scenes in the movies or in television. You know, when the person has had a really bad run and all of a sudden it appears they have the great hand and they just take their hands and they just push all the chips in and say, I'm all in. The play moves on around the table and most everyone throws in the towel, but one or two people throw in their chips also and the big reveal comes. That's what Jesus is asking of us. Are you all in? Are you willing to put it all in for me? Are you ready to give me all you've got? It's what God was asking of Moses. It's what our Roman scripture is saying today. Are you ready to do what I need you to do? To be kind and loving and hospitable to strangers, even those who persecute you, those who harm you, those who will most likely not want anything to do with you, those who may mock you and humiliate you. Are you willing to be kind and loving in my name? Can you do that for me? God didn't stop there with Moses. Jesus didn't stop there with Peter. God said, I will be with you. And Jesus said, follow me. I'm going there first. You're not going to be alone. I'll show you the way. What great comfort there is in that fact. When time seems difficult, we're not alone. That's the part of this that is the most comforting, is that we're in this together. Jesus walked to the cross. Can there really be anything worse than that? I can't help, when I read these scriptures today, I can't help but think about Ferguson. How do we stand for those being persecuted like Moses was asked to do? How do we continue to be patient and not seek revenge? How do we not repay evil with evil? I think about the people who are peacefully protesting, and I think about the police who give of themselves every day and put themselves in harm's way. And I think, what is my role in this type of event? I can't help but think about wars that are going on around our world, times when those being persecuted and who are suffering need someone to stand for them, but then I hate the idea of war and I want nothing to do with it. And then I see someone I love, my own nephew, who lost part of his leg, gave of himself, and lost so much, and who will never be the same again. And how do I respond? And I don't have the answer. I wish I did. But I think part of what Jesus is calling us to do as children of God is to mature in our faith a little bit more every day. Really thinking about what's going on in our world and thinking about how we can play a role in that. Really thinking about what we're willing to suffer and die for. to really open ourselves up, knowing that we might have to suffer, but we're willing to put all the chips in, recognizing we're not going to be alone. We have someone who's walked this road before and continues to be with us every step of the journey. May we be willing to take that step, to say, okay, this isn't what I want to hear, but here I am, Lord. I'll do what you ask of me. Amen and amen.